Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. Florida and Texas has escalated their flights and buses to move migrants to locations such as Washington, D.C., and even Martha's Vineyard. I regard this as completely brilliant political theater because it's pulling the rug out from under the Democrat hypocrisy, where they want to bring in endless floods of migrants, illegal migrants, into the various states. It's clear they expect they're going to vote Democrat, but they're alienating the serious migrants who have legally immigrated into the United States, where Biden's popularity in the Hispanic community has dropped below 20%, I have no doubt. And of course, blacks are disenchanted with Biden as well. I mean, he has destroyed the economy, hyperinflation, all this nonsense. Here's the latest. Edgartown, Mass. Republican governors are escalating their partisan tactic of sending migrants to Democrat strongholds without advance warning, including a wealthy summer enclave in Massachusetts and the home of Vice President Kamala Harris, to taunt leaders of immigrant-friendly sanctuary cities and stoke opposition to Biden administration border policies, absolutely and for good reason. The governors of Texas and Arizona have sent thousands of migrants on buses to New York, Chicago, and Washington, D.C. in recent months. But the latest surprise moves, which included two flights to Martha's Vineyard Wednesday paid for by Florida, reached a new level of political theater that critics, that would be Democrats across the nation, decried it as inhumane. What's inhumane? My goodness. Going to accompany the Vice President of the United States, how could that be viewed as inhumane? Going to Martha's Vineyard, perhaps the most exclusive island in the United States? How could that be inhumane? They're being put into good hands. Both Washington, D.C. and Martha's Vineyard have declared themselves to be sanctuary cities that are going to give home and nurture and support immigrants. Upon arrival in Martha's Vineyard, where former President Barack Obama has a home, The migrants, who are predominantly from Venezuela, were provided with meals, shelter, health care, and information about where to find work. A vacation island south of Boston, whose year-round residents include many blue-collar workers, appeared to absorb the dozens of arrivals without a major hitch. Elizabeth Fulcarelli, chief executive of the nonprofit Martha's Vineyard Community Services, was wrapping up work when she saw 48 Venezuelans with luggage and backpacks approach her office. They carried red folders with brochures for her organization. They were told they would have a job and they would have housing, said Fulcarelli, who described the scramble for shelter as a huge challenge. Migrants played soccer and hung out in small groups on the porch of their temporary shelter Thursday, while meeting visiting attorneys who gave free advice and other service providers. Well-wishers dropped off donations. Volunteers signed up to provide whatever help they could offer. There were no signs of protest. The president of the League of United Latin American Citizens, Domingo Garcia, said some of the migrants sent on buses from Texas to Washington, D.C. were tricked, an allegation that the Associated Press has not confirmed and that officials in Texas and Arizona have denied. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said the flights to Martha's Vineyard were part of an effort to transport illegal immigrants to sanctuary destinations. The Florida legislature has earmarked $12 million to transport unauthorized aliens out of state. DeSantis' office didn't answer a question about where migrants boarded planes and how they were coaxed into making the trip. Massachusetts State Senator Julian Sear told the Vineyard Gazette that one plane originated in San Antonio, raising questions about whether migrants ever set foot in Florida. Flight tracking shows a flight originated in San Antonio, stopped in Crestview, Florida, in Charlotte, North Carolina, before landing in Martha's Vineyard. Well, I think it's pretty obvious. They got the flight out of San Antonio. They loaded it up in Crestview, and of necessity, they made a stop in Charlotte in order to refuel. The two buses of migrants from Texas who arrived Thursday outside of Harris Residence at the United States Naval Observatory carried more than 100 migrants from Colombia, Cuba, Guyana, Nicaragua, Panama, and Venezuela. The Biden-Harris administration continues ignoring and denying the historic crisis at our southern border, which has endangered and overwhelmed Texas communities for almost 2 years, said Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who has poured billions of taxpayer dollars into making border security a signature issue. California Governor Gavin Newsom, a Democrat who's publicly feuded with DeSantis and Abbott over their conservative policies, on Thursday asked the U.S. Department of Justice to investigate whether transporting migrants across state lines as political props broke the law. He's also claimed that DeSantis kidnapped these people. This is gruesome Newsom who's destroying California and wants to do the same. He wants to do for the United States what he's done for California. This guy has tremendous ambitions. There's a lot of speculation. When they get Biden and Harris out of the way, they're going to bring in gruesome out of California. Transporting families, including children, across state lines under false pretenses is morally reprehensible, but it may also be illegal. Newsom wrote in a letter to U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland that he also posted on his Twitter account. Well, the Democrats have a problem. This is embarrassing them. This is showing the whole policy is a sham. They're bringing these people into the United States under false purposes because they're bringing them in to change the demographics of the United States and to alter voting patterns in key swing states. No one should have any doubt about what the Democrats are up to here. They are desperate to avoid the wipeout coming in November. They're going to do everything they can to circumvent or avoid it altogether. I believe they're willing to go so far as to engage in a nuclear war with Russia if that'll prevent their losing control of Congress. This is how reprehensible and traitorous are these alleged representatives of the American people who actually represent nothing more than their own personal interests and that of George Soros, as I've observed again and again. If you think of George Soros as acting president of the United States, then it all makes sense. All the pieces fall into place. Remember, it's been his lifelong dream to destroy America before he dies, and he spent hundreds of millions of dollars to elect woke district attorneys who are creating revolving door justice, where in California now they're decriminalizing shoplifting up to not quite $1,000. So you have whole train loads, bus loads of thieves arriving at big department stores and then, you know, taking all their loot out to their cars away in a veritable caravan of shoplifting criminals. And the DAs are doing absolutely nothing about it. Nothing about it. Without mentioning DeSantis or Abbott by name, Newsom suggested the federal government could bring charges of kidnapping or civil rights conspiracy because migrants were targeted because of their national origin. I mean, this is just lunatic talk coming from a demented Democrat. He's a good example of what we're up against. This is a guy, by the way, who deliberately drained the two largest water reservoirs in California, which were at record high levels, into the Pacific Ocean on the pretext of saving some obscure species of tiny fish, when there was enough water there to sustain a drought of 5 years duration in California, which, of course, is agricultural breadbasket of the United States. California stands to America as Ukraine stands to Russia. Ukraine has historically been the breadbasket of Russia. Where Zbigniew Brzezinski, in his book, The Grand Chessboard, talked about the idea of prying Ukraine away from Russia to weaken the bear. Well, that policy has been pursued, where Victoria Nuland, back in 2014, used $5 billion in taxpayer dollars to foment a color revolution in Ukraine that was designed to drive out the Russia-friendly president and install a pro-West. Zelensky is his successor. Since that occurred, the Ukrainian government has been shelling the eastern part of Ukraine, the Donbass region, and killing thousands of ethnically Russian citizens of Ukraine. This was one of the major reasons for the intervention after the cities of Luhansk and Donetsk declared themselves to be independent and were recognized by Russia following the referendum in the Crimea, which took place also in 2014, in order to become a part of Russia, and where I guarantee you Russia is never going to surrender Ukraine, and where what we're hearing about the alleged success of the Ukrainian forces is ludicrous. The Ukrainians, this is a ragtag army. They're even recruiting children. They're giving them rifles, and they're shooting them if they won't fire on the Russians. They're making what appears to be prodigious advances. Russia historically has been the master at entrapment, at luring forces into traps and then springing them. I predict with great confidence you're going to see a decimation of the Ukrainian armed forces because Zelensky has been all in on this. He's sending all his forces there, and the Russians, I predict, are going to annihilate them with air power and artillery. They've already taken out 20 command and control centers run by the Ukrainians. And I don't think this recent attempt to assassinate Putin is going to endear Ukraine to the Russian Federation. After migrants seeking asylum across the U.S.-Mexico border, they spent time in a U.S. Customs and Border Protection facility along the border until they're generally released into the U.S. to wait out their cases. Republicans say Biden's policies encourage migrants to vanish into the U.S. Democrats argue that Trump-era policy of forcing them to wait out of asylum cases in Mexico was inhumane. How can it have been inhumane? it was obviously the right responsible thing to do, just as constructing the border wall was the right responsible thing to do. A country without borders is no country at all. This is obvious. Would you believe 4.9 million illegal migrants have entered the United States since Biden came into office? 4.9 million, equivalent to the population of the entire nation of Ireland. 4.9 million. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said Thursday, federal officials were not told in advance by the Republican governors who sent the migrants to Massachusetts and to Washington, D.C. Listen to this appeal to pathos. We're talking about children. We're talking about families who are promised a home, promised a job, put on a bus, and driven to a place that they do not know, said Jean-Pierre, who called the governor's action a cruel, premeditated political stunt. Well, none of them know any place in the United States, so no matter where they're going to a place they do not know. And who the hell is promising them a home, promising them a job? Who's allowing all these families across a border? It's a Biden-Harris Soros administration, George Soros. Just think about it. If you wanted to destroy the United States, what would be the most effective way to go about doing it? Well, I think number one, you could attack its energy supply, its energy independence, which Trump had achieved for the first time that I can recall in my lifetime, energy independence of the United States. Cancel the XL pipeline. Revoke the permits to drill on federal lands. He almost single-handedly, in a single stroke on the very first day in office, reverted the United States to dependent on foreign energy sources. Then when gas prices shoot out, just drain the strategic petroleum reserve. This is for national disasters as a backup. Drain it so it's unavailable for national disasters. It's very much depleted at this point in time. Attack the American military and law enforcement. Defund the police. What could be a more effective way to generate chaos in society than defunding the police and having criminals put back on the street? I mean, the process that's involved when crimes are committed of tracking down suspects, putting together the evidence to indict them, then having them subjected to a trial, and finally incarcerated. All that is hugely time-consuming, but it's indispensable if you're going to have a civil society based on law and order. George Soros has vitiated all of that. We are now a lawless society. Have no doubt about it. And this is not by accident. This is by design. And then I would say, flood the country with illegals. Get them everywhere. They're going to create chaos. You're going to overwhelm each of the cities and their ability to deal with their own problems in their own community, with their own natural citizens who've been living there for the most of their lives. You're going to create all kinds of, look, these are principles, that policies one would adopt if you want to destroy America. And with regard to the military, impose these vax mandates, where the vax is well known to maim or kill. And those who refuse can then be subjected to discharge. Turn the military woke, paint your tanks pink, have, you know, bring in transsexuals. Believe me, that's going to go down really well in a military organization. Talk about dispiriting, you know, red-blooded American boys who want to fight for their country, that are willing to sacrifice when they have to take showers with transgenders. Give me a break. These policies are so stupid. They're so incredibly absurd. They're so destructive of the nation and its strength and its vitality. It can only be by those who want the worst for the United States. These are people who don't care about the Constitution. They share that attitude expressed by W. The Constitution is just a goddamn piece of paper. That's all they care about. And they're destroying law and order in the United States. They're weaponizing the Department of Justice and the FBI. They're turning the United States into a banana republic, because there's no stronger sign of a banana republic than weaponizing your judicial and law enforcement apparatus against your political opponents. And that was what's happened under the Biden admin. And of course, I've been saying forever, this isn't a real Joe Biden. This is not the guy, the senator from Delaware. This guy appears to have been last seen in 2017. They've been using Biden doubles. A friend of mine, who's a very savvy guy, suggests there are multiple Biden doubles they use on different occasions. After taking a good look at that speech he gave, the Hitler-esque behind a blood-red background with two apparent Marines standing there. They certainly were properly dressed and showed proper military posture and all that, but they could very well have been hired. It's offensive to have the American Marine standing beside the president in the background for such a politically divisive speech where he's attacking half of the American electorate. Donald Trump appears to have got legitimately 80 million votes, not Biden. Nobody cared about Biden. No one would turn out for Biden. They had to fabricate rallies at, for example, a drive-in theater where they pay people to come in cars to try to make it look as though there was a turnout, and even then they'd only have a couple dozen. I've mentioned before, I mentioned again in Phoenix, just days before the election of 2020, Biden and Harris made an unusual joint appearance, and the total number who turned out to see Biden and Harris together, zero. Zero. Days before the election, and you think this is the guy who won an overwhelming victory against Donald Trump, who may be the single most popular political figure in all of American history by the numbers? I mean, it's just staggering. And then they viciously attack anyone who disputes the integrity of the election, calling it the big lie, when we know Mike Lindell, by the way, has recently been terrorized by having three FBI cars surround him to apprehend his cell phone, conducted a three-day marathon presenting proof after proof after proof of the theft of the election. And, of course, now we have the 2,000 mules about how $410 million was shelled out by Mark Zuckerberg at $10 a ballot, fake ballot, to be stuffed into the drop boxes. That's 41 million fake ballots. I believe that's on the right order of what was going on here. There may have been as many as 58,000 mules, not just two, order of 58. Abbott has bused 7,900 migrants to Washington since April, later sending 2,200 to New York, 300 to Chicago. Arizona Governor Doug Ducey has bused more than 1,800 to Washington since May. Passengers must sign waivers that the free trips are voluntary. DeSantis appears to be taking the strategy to a new level using planes and choosing Martha's Vineyard, brilliant, whose harbor towns that are home to about 15,000 people are far less prepared than New York or Washington for a large influx of immigrants. Texas and Florida have infuriated officials and destination cities by failing to provide passenger rosters, estimated times of arrival, and other information that would make it easier to prepare in contrast. Arizona has coordinated with officials in other cities. President Joe Biden is facing the same challenges that dogged his predecessor, former President Donald Trump, a dysfunctional asylum system in the U.S. and economic and social conditions that are prompting people from dozens of countries to flee, but Trump handled it properly. U.S. authorities stopped migrants crossing from Mexico about 2 million times from October through July, up nearly 50% from the same period of last year. Many are released into the U.S. to pursue their immigration cases because U.S. authorities have struggled to expel them to their countries under a pandemic-era rule that denies them a chance to seek asylum. Some Republicans celebrated the latest delivery of migrants from border states. Welcome to being a state on the southern border, Massachusetts, tweeted DeSantis spokesman Jeremy Redfern. Stephen Miller, chief architect of Trump's immigration policy, said bringing a few million migrants to Martha's Vineyard should transform the island of about 15,000 people into a modern Eden. Florida Democrat gubernatorial nominee Charlie Crist said DeSantis is treating the migrants inhumanely. It's amazing to me what he's willing to do for sheer political gain, said one of the most egotistical and self-centered and corrupt politicians on the scene today, Charlie Crist. Talia Inlander, deputy director of UCLA's Center for Immigration Law and Policy, said the flights to Martha's Vineyard appear to violate Florida's law. They'd be limited to unauthorized aliens. These folks are not unauthorized, they said. They aren't flying under the radar in any way. Well, that's pretty remarkable. They're here illegally. So how can it be said that they're not unauthorized? It appears to me that the governors are in the right, and it's obvious the Biden administration is in the wrong. So here's a very interesting question for us to contemplate. What's the carrying capacity of Martha's Vineyard? How many migrants could we handle on Martha's Vineyard? We found ourselves asking this question Thursday when the island off Cape Cod announced it was experiencing a humanitarian crisis after 50 people arrived there seeking shelter. These were reportedly migrants, some of whom may be refugees from Venezuela's communist dictatorship, who had reportedly been flown up to Martha's Vineyard on a plane sent to pick them up from Texas by Florida Governor Rick DeSantis. The island's officials announced its residents, towns, and community-based nonprofit groups had sprung into action to provide food, shelter, health care, and other amenities to the new arrivals. They also noted two emergency shelters had been established in case further arrivals occur. So here's a tweet. Visit Martha's Vineyard. To our island community, here's an update on current humanitarian crisis on Martha's Vineyard. We thank people for their continued help. For emergency release, we have the statement. So the question becomes, how much capacity does Martha's Vineyard have to shelter refugees? A great question to which we shall return.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, for those unfamiliar with the concept, carrying capacity is the human population that can be sustained in a given region for an indefinite period of time. So the question we have now is, how much capacity, how much carrying capacity does Martha's Vineyard have to shelter refugees? Census data reports there are around 17,000 year-long residents and around 14,600 homes on the island. Let's estimate each home has four bedrooms. Each bedroom can comfortably sleep three people. This would bring the island's sleep capacity up to 175,200 beds and 158,200 would be unoccupied at present. If anything, this likely underestimates the sleeping capacity of the island. During the summer months, the island is said to regularly house 200,000 at a time, if you really pack people in, allowing for sleeping in living rooms and libraries and dining rooms and studies. You could easily house 400,000. Of course, there's a lot of available land in Martha's Vineyard that could be converted into housing for refugees. With the current population, there are about 194 people per square mile. That's around the population density of Indiana, Georgia, North Carolina. If we were to raise the density to that of Washington, D.C., which has 11,295 per square mile, we could fit neatly a million newcomers. That would still leave plenty of room on the island. Manhattan, after all, is 69,648 population per square mile by our calculation. That leaves Martha's Vineyard with room for 6 million refugees. Barack Obama owns a 29-acre estate with 7 bedrooms and 8.5 bathrooms on Martha's Vineyard, could not be reached for comment. His house features a private beach that could become the official welcome point for ferries bringing in the new arrivals. Perhaps the former president could even be persuaded to greet the folks disembarking with an aloha and a lei in the tradition of his native state. Remember, he claims to have been born in Hawaii, but of course it's all bullshit, just as everything else associated with Barack Obama is bullshit. Where he has a legacy that is going to go down as a travesty, it's outrageous. Meanwhile, get this. Biden signed a secret order that could rig the 2022 elections. A secret order. Polls show Democrats are likely to lose at least their majority in the House of Representatives. But Democrats have an ace up their sleeves. And that's because Joe Biden signed a secret order that could rig the 2022 elections. A secret order affecting the elections. You would think in a democracy, any order affecting the elections ought to be public, but this one is secret. It is the responsibility of the federal government to expand access to an education about voter registration and election information and to combat misinformation. And to combat misinformation in order to enable all eligible Americans to participate in our democracy, the order states. Of course, what Joe Biden really means when he says the government must combat misinformation is that the government will censor administration critics. A lawsuit from the attorneys general of Missouri and Louisiana shows Biden pressured tech companies to censor individuals raised doubts about his COVID policies and vaccine. Biden's executive order contained many of the same themes and policy priorities Democrats included in the federal election takeover bill that conservatives argued would end the practice of competitive elections in America and cement a permanent Democratic Party majority in Congress. So of course he would sign it. Of course it would be secret. That's the whole idea. End competitive elections in America. Cement a permanent Democrat Party. They want one-party government in America. The order mandates, get this, using federal agencies to promote voter registration, using federal agencies to inform Americans about voting, linking federal agency websites to state voter registration websites, providing voter registration and vote-by-mail applications, using approved nonpartisan third-party organizations to register voters at federal agencies, using identification documents issued by the agency to help people register to vote, providing more multilingual services to potential voters, giving public employees time off to vote in federal, state, local, tribal, and territorial elections, and promoting voter registration for federal prisoners. But what makes this executive order especially worrisome is the fact that the Biden Department of Justice is refusing to release 15 pages of documents outlining how the administration plans to put this executive order into action. That raises concerns that the Biden executive order is really a Democrat Party get-out-the-vote initiative. Do you have any doubt about it? Does anyone doubt about it? That this Biden executive order is indeed nothing but a Democrat Party get-out-the-vote initiative? Republicans saw how Zuckerbox, Facebook founder Mike Zuckerberg, privately funding election administration in key states, actually funded Democrat turnout operations in the 2020 elections. Zuckerberg pulled back from this practice for the 2022 midterm, but until Joe Biden comes clean and is fully transparent about what his election executive order entails, it will raise suspicions that Biden is planning to use the machinery of government to boost Democrat chances of victory in November. Does anyone have any doubt about it? I mean, is that even up for debate? Now, here's a significant development via the Mar-a-Lago raid. Special master appointed to review documents for Mar-a-Lago search. DOJ request to resume criminal probe rejected. In my opinion, these developments show beyond any doubt that there's at least one federal judge who has integrity and is acting in accordance with the Constitution. Eileen Cannon, I applaud her. This all appears to be completely in accordance with the law and proper procedure. If ever there were a case where a special master had to be appointed, it would be the raid by the FBI of a former president's personal residence, where the whole thing was suspicious, phony on its face. He's been out of office for over a year, so they waited for over a year that these documents were so crucial, so important. Then once they got the warrant, they had the warrant on Friday, but they didn't conduct the raid until Monday. All this tells us this was completely contrived. This is a political theater. This is not a bona fide, legitimate exercise of the power and authority of the FBI under the control of the Department of Justice and the Attorney General. This is a partisan raid, and it appears increasingly clearly the whole objective is to attempt to make a case against Trump or working on an alternative elector project where he and a number of his allies were trying to figure out a way to deal with the theft of the election. And among the projects they contemplated was for the various states where the election had, in fact, been stolen. I mean, their own polling data tells them which states are being stolen. I mean, this is something we know to be the case. There's nothing mythical, fanciful, or false about it. The evidence is simply overwhelming. The whole idea was to send an alternative slate of legislatures, so when the vice president was confronted with the task of counting the electoral votes, being confronted with alternative slates from the same states, he would direct that they be returned to the state legislatures for resolution. That is what should have happened. That is why Mike Pence betrayed his obligation under the Constitution. No question in my mind whatsoever about this. It was an appropriate move, but they're trying to spin it as a violation of that obscure provision of the 14th Amendment. This is where they're putting all their eggs in this basket now, that the alternative slates of electors was an attempt to overthrow the government of the United States. It's a stretch. It's frankly absurd, but that's what they're doing. Meanwhile, so the raid was intended to gather any information they could. And when they've sent out now these subpoenas and so forth of 50 associates of Trump, this is the target. This is what it's all about. The alternative slates of electors. They're using that as the premise for the claim that he's ineligible to serve a federal office because he participated in an attempt to overthrow the government by means of the alternative elector slates. Think about it. That's what the Democratic Party has been reduced to. Corrupt from stem to stern. Here's Tierney Snead reporting. A Brooklyn-based federal judge was selected on Thursday to serve as an independent arbiter to review the material seized in the FBI search of former President Donald Trump's Florida home. The special master will be Senior Judge Raymond Deary, who was put forward as a possible candidate for the special master role by Trump, who had sued in court to obtain the review. The Justice Department, which had opposed the appointment, also endorsed this one. U.S. Justice U.S. District Judge, meaning the department opposed the whole idea of having a special master. But among the nominees were the Department of Justice nominated two and Trump nominated two. They agreed on one of Trump's appointees, to wit, Raymond Deary. U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon, whom I celebrate as an exemplar of proper judicial procedure, also rejected the Justice Department bid to resume its criminal investigation into classified documents seized at Mar-a-Lago last month. The denial sets a stage for the department's dispute with Trump over the search to move quickly to an appellate court and potentially to the U.S. Supreme Court. An intelligence community review of the documents has been paused since last week when Cannon ordered the criminal investigation to stop for the moment. DOJ says the two reviews cannot be separated and plans to appeal. Cannon gave the special master a deadline of November 30th to finish his review of potentially privileged documents. The schedule puts a review ending after the midterm congressional elections, essentially guaranteeing a Mar-a-Lago investigation will move slowly for the next 2 months unless a higher court steps in. In a ruling rejecting the Department of Justice bid to resume the criminal probe, Cannon said she was unconvinced that pausing the criminal investigation review of documents would cause irreparable harm. The department argued that the intelligence community's assessment of national security risks, which Cannon previously said could go forward, was being impeded by the hold she had put on the criminal probe's use of the documents. First, there's been no actual suggestion by the government of any identifiable emergency or imminent disclosure of classified information arising from plaintiffs' allegedly unlawful retention of the seized property. Instead, and unfortunately, the unwarranted disclosures that float in the background have been leaked to the media after the underlying seizure. She also rejected the argument the department had made that the intelligence community assessment could be decoupled from the criminal probe. While it may be easier, Cannon said, for the government's criminal investigative work to proceed in tandem with the security assessments, the Justice Department had not convinced her that the intelligence community's assessment was being impeded by it. Pointing to examples that prosecutors had offered of how the national security assessment would rely on the criminal probe's work, Cannon said that the prosecutors do not firmly maintain that the described processes are inextricably intertwined and instead rely heavily on hypothetical scenarios and generalized explanations that do not establish irreparable injury. Trump filed the lawsuit seeking the special master 2 weeks after the Department of Justice executed the search on his Florida residence and resort. Prosecutors are investigating at least 3 potential crimes, violations of the Espionage Act, illegal handling of government records, and obstruction of justice. But I'm telling you, on the side, what they're really after is evidence related to the alternative slates of electors. They don't want to admit it, but it's very clear to me and others that's what's up. During the search, according to court filings, investigators seized more than 100 documents marked as classified, which were obtained after Trump's representatives were served a subpoena in May, demanding that they return to the government all such documents. When the FBI traveled to Mar-a-Lago in June, remember, they made a visit much earlier back in June to collect the documents. One of his lawyers signed a certification asserting the subpoena had been complied with. Trump, in his filings of the special master case, argued that his constitutional rights had been trampled upon with the August 8th search. O'Cannon herself had previously said she did not agree that the judicially authorized search amounted to a callous disregard of the former president's rights. Let me add why I believe Trump is correct in this instance, and the judge, for whom I have the greatest respect, is not. The warrant covered documents during the entire 4 years Trump was in office, from his first day in office to the last. That was unconstitutionally broad. Warrants have to be designed in a very specific fashion. They may have to make it very clear exactly what documents are being pursued, exactly where they're located, to the exclusion of all other locations and documents. This was unconstitutionally vague. It is clear this was just casting a net. They're going on a fishing expedition, but I say, with the ulterior purpose of focusing especially on any documents, records related to the alternative slates of electors. So I believe, as a consequence, in a properly conducted court of law, were they to come up with some incriminating evidence, which I frankly do not believe exists, were they to come up with some incriminating evidence based upon this warrant, it would be subject to exclusion from any properly conducted court of law because it was improperly obtained in violation of the constraints upon proper warrants. In other words, you've heard the phrase, the fruit of a poisonous tree. That means evidence that's obtained illegally, in my opinion. And I believe any objective jurist would agree. Whatever they obtained there was obtained illegally because the warrant was unconstitutionally broad and therefore would be excluded from a court of law. But they know that. That's because what's going on is all political theater. This is all propaganda. This is all for the public record. This is all to create impressions. This is all to justify a Congress, a politicians, who don't give a damn about the Constitution, to try to, you know, savage, to decertify the political opponent whom, above all, they fear the most. They are shitting in their pants that Donald Trump is going to clean their clock again in 2024, just as he did in 2016 and again in 2020, which is why they had to manipulate the outcome. And where anyone who tells you that, you know, questioning the outcome of the election of 2020 is somehow traitorous, improper, has her head where the sun doesn't shine, that's insulting on its face. We have so much evidence of the theft of this election. And look at the incompetence. Look at the guy who's there and what he's doing to the country. Disgraceful. According to her order of September 5th, initially granting Trump's request for a special master review, Cannon decided it was necessary to bolster public trust in the search, and because Trump, as a former president, faced increased risks of reputational harm if an indictment was wrongfully brought against him. Trump claimed on Hugh Herrett's radio show that he declassified the government records that were taken to Mar-a-Lago. But that's not an argument that he's made in any legal setting. I do understand Trump had a standing order. Any documents he took home with him were automatically thereby declassified. There is no question but what, although the mainstream won't share that information with you, the President of the United States has the ultimate authority to declassify. He can declassify any document whatsoever with absolute authority. I believe Trump was eager to declassify all the JFK docs. They brought a massive coalition of opposition to declassifying certain of those documents, including that of the PSYOP guy for the CIA named George Ioannidis, which would shed a great deal of light on both the assassination of Jack in Dallas and of Bobby in Los Angeles on grounds of national security. Now, just look at the official stories for both of those cases. In Dallas, a lone demented gunman, a former Marine, got off three lucky shots, killing the president and wounding the governor in California. Sirhan, a Palestinian, fired multiple shots in the pantry, killing Bobby. The fact is, Jack had shot to the throat, fired from in front, a shot to the right temple, fired from in front, a shot to the back, fired from behind, a shot to the back of the head, fired from behind. There's no possible way, only three shots. Three lucky shots were responsible, and we now know today that Lee Oswald, the alleged lone gunman, was actually standing in the doorway of the book depository when JFK's motorcade passed by. And in L.A., the situation is pretty comparable with regard to the patsy, in this case, Sirhan Sirhan, where psychiatrists who worked for the CIA boasted about having hypnotized him. I believe it was the girl in the polka dot dress that was a trigger for him firing at Bobby, but he fired for Bobby from in front. None of his rounds hit Bobby. The medical examiner for Los Angeles, who was world famous, concluded four shots had been fired at Bobby from the side and from behind. One, which killed him, entered from an inch and a half behind his right ear. They appear to have been fired by the security guard who was attending him, where Bobby grabbed at him as he fell in his tie clasp. Thane Eugene Caesar is found on the ground in some photographs of the pantry. So in both of these cases, when you get the medical evidence straight, the official story doesn't have a ghost of a chance. It's not supported even remotely. So, Cannon's order on Thursday also, so Trump wanted to release these documents, and he got a certain amount out, but not that. Some of the most important, some of what he did, however, has proven to be a bit of a bonanza, including documents that were not put out in electronic form to make it difficult to search. You had to do it by hand. But where Larry Rivera, who's been instrumental in confirming Lee was in the doorway, has gone through and discovered the whole visit of Lee Oswald to Mexico City was a fabrication. And that among the CIA assets involved here were, get this, not one, not two, but three presidents of Mexico.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Cannon's order on Thursday also raised doubts about the documents, with whether those with classification markings were actually classified. Recall, I've mentioned before, the DOJ talks about documents with classification markings, not about classified documents, because it appears by Trump's standing order, automatically any docs he took home were declassified. And as I've emphasized, he's the absolute authority on declassification. The court does not find it appropriate to accept the government's conclusions on these important and disputed issues without further review by a neutral third party in an expedited and orderly fashion, she said, referring to the DOJ assertions that the documents are presumably classified and that Trump could not possibly have a possessory interest in any of them. I mean, that's just absurd on its face. Think about it. I believe this move by DeSantis and Abbott was absolutely brilliant and highlights the hypocrisy of what's going on. Meanwhile, I want to emphasize that Reinhard Fulmich, who's been championing a legal effort to oppose the great takeover and the use of the VAXX, has talked about the World Economic Forum agenda and the whole effort of globalization, that it falls into four categories, or the four stages. The first is destabilization, restricting economic freedom, increasing the volume of money. That means bring about inflation, even hyperinflation, which we see is going on around us. Produce conflict and promote fear. Biden came into office claiming he was going to be the unifier, but everything he's done has been intended to divide us. And by God, the lawlessness of the revolving door justice and not prosecuting for crimes has made it even worse. Overregulation of current legal system, really, in a way, we've abandoned law and order. And of course, by politicizing the federal government with regard to the Department of Justice and the FBI, we're turning America into a banana republic, the key feature of which is using the legal and judicial apparatus of the state to vilify and attack your political opponents, which is exactly what's going on here. We've seen all this destabilization go on ever since Biden came into office. And the second phase is deconstruction. Inflation, more purchasing power, bankruptcies, the COVID pandemic, the lockdowns were massive in destroying the middle class. David Icke was prescient about this. He foresaw exactly what was happening, that this was an attack on small businesses with the greatest transfer of wealth in history to big businesses, corporations, and the wealthy, the rich. And inflation is now destroying the purchasing power of the dollar. It looked very much as though we're going to be subjected to a new financial system, which is part of the reconstruction phase. Meanwhile, restriction of economic freedom. When you have high prices soaring out, when you try to restrain access to travel, high gas prices, which somehow are being artificially lowered. I haven't quite figured out how this is happening, but I strongly suspect that the companies are being subsidized by the federal government to bring the gas prices down because they were killing the Democrats, frankly. Well, restrictions on economic freedom, even electric vehicles, are restriction on our freedom to travel. The whole idea they have such limited range. I've suggested let's have a Daytona 500 and put these electric vehicles in competition with the gas powered. And you'd find the electric have to stop and be recharged, and the race is all over before they can recharge them. I mean, it's just stupid beyond belief. They got this numbnut governor of California, Gruesome Newsom, who is declaring on the one hand that California would not allow any new vehicles that are not electric after 2025. And in days, he's declaring an emergency electrical blackout and asking people not to charge their electric vehicles. What's going to happen on the freeways of California where I grew up? These are 8 lanes wide. I mean, these are enormous. What are you going to have happen when there's an electric blackout on the vehicles in California? The whole state's going to grind to a halt. And this guy is going to want to do to the United States what he's done to California. Give me a break. Suspension of current arrangement systems. That means everything. Healthcare, insurance, law enforcement. They want to revise it all. They want a federal law enforcement agency. They want to have a national. So just like the Stasi of the KGB, they can control from Washington, D.C. what goes on locally. That's got to be part of the motivation. Meanwhile, we're being set up. We're in the midst of this deconstruction, but it's gone pretty far forward. The next stage, reconstruction. With a new financial system, there's going to be digital currency. There's some statements that in the works that's going to happen already by December 12th, that we're going to move to digital currency. It's going to create chaos. Think of all kinds of transactions take place using cash money. I mean, just to illustrate one element, and because it's such a massive problem in the United States, it's going to be chaotic. Drug dealers aren't going to go for digital currency. I mean, what's going to happen to the drug market when all the addicts are deprived of getting their fix because Biden has put it all on digital and they can only deal in surreptitious transactions involving cash money, nothing to do with digital? I mean, that's just one illustration. But, of course, it's the ultimate form of control. I'm telling you, once we go to all digital, we are slaves to the state. Because then the government can cut off our access to money anytime you want. If you're using a credit card to gas, you know, fill your gas tank, which takes about 5 minutes as opposed to a couple of hours if you got to recharge your electric vehicle, which is part of the reason the whole idea of electric vehicles is so colossally stupid, they can cut you off. You know, if you're gassing your car and they don't want you, once you go electric, they'll just cut you off. Meanwhile, they're going to present themselves as saviors in time of need. I do believe, actually, turning the criminals back out on the street is one aspect of trying to create chaos. order out of chaos, right? Create chaos and then come and impose a new order, a new world order, including a universal basic income, which means everyone's dependent on the state. Everyone is dependent on the state for the necessities of life. If everyone is dependent on the state controls every aspect of your life, every aspect of your life, bar none. So, in Reconstruction, we're going to get the appearance of the state to provide universal basic income. Centralization through supranational structures. This is where the World Economic Forum, this is where the UN, this is where the Rothschild banking empire comes in to bring about the end result, which will be control over all resources. You'll own nothing, right? And you're supposed to be happy and eat bugs. Get it? Eat bugs. Turns out bugs have an element in their exoskeletons that is toxic to human beings. So this is going to be part of their ongoing depopulation agenda. Eat bugs. They want to return to a feudal society where the few of the rich are ensconced in their castles, surrounded by moats, and the rest who remain are toiling as serfs and slaves in the field. That's what they want. That's where they're going. Transfer of personal responsibility. Everything is going to be placed emphasis on the state. No one will be personally responsible for anything. You'll act in accordance with the state, or you won't act at all because you'll be incarcerated. They'll make, perhaps, attempts at rehabilitation, but if you're resistant, you're going to be terminated. Mark my word, terminated. Global laws. It's all going to be uniform. Now, here you have Reinhard Fulbeck saying exactly what I've said here in detail. Listen to this.
But here's the thing. People have to understand what's really going on. It's not enough that you think that maybe I'm going to have to bow to authority. It's important to understand, to see the whole picture. It's important to understand what you mentioned a while ago, that this is about life and death. It's about population reduction. This is no mistake. They're not acting negligently. They're acting on purpose. Let us take a brief look, just so that people understand what I'm talking about. There is another slide about the New World Order. It's both in English and in German. And it spells out exactly where we are and where we're headed right now. See this? At the bottom, you have the English translation. At the bottom, you have the German translation. It's the New World Order agenda, the analysis. The first step is destabilization. We've been through that. That's restricting economic freedom, increasing the volume of money, produce conflict, promote fear, overregulating of current legal system. That's exactly what we're seeing. Second step is deconstruction. That's where we are right now. Inflation, lower purchasing power, bankruptcies, restriction of economic freedom, suspension of current arrangement systems. And the third step is reconstruction, setting up a new financial system. Then they will pop up and play the savior. Those who are trying to kill us will all of a sudden pop up and play the savior, assume the role as a savior in times of need. Universal basic income is what they're going to offer us. Centralization through supranational structures. And the final step is the end result, control over all resources, transfer of personal responsibility and global laws. This is not a conspiracy theory. You can read it in the Great Reset. Yeah. This is not a conspiracy theory. But if people do not understand this, they will not make the right choices. But very well spoken, Golan. You hit the nail on the head. But
and of course, all the demonization of conspiracy theories is to stop you from thinking things through, the things that don't add up. Here's something wonderful. 10 more environmentally friendly alternatives to using electricity. This is coming from the Babylon Bee. But we've discovered that their satire is really penetrating and exposing what's actually going on. 10 environmentally friendly alternatives to using electricity. Hey there, person, are you still using electricity? We all know electricity makes the earth cry, which is why California recently banned it altogether. If you are one of the heartless few still using electricity to cool your home or charge your phone, here are 10 electricity alternatives. Try them all to become a better human being. Number one, buy an electric car so you can burn it for warmth. Those lithium batteries really light up. Two, offer burnt sacrifices to an ancient pagan god so it'll give you mild weather. You won't have to turn on the AC ever again. Three, just die. Problem solved. Just make sure your death with dignity is handled by a trusted healthcare professional. Four, get transferred into the body of a blue alien on a distant planet's moon and then fall in love with one of the locals while learning to live off the land naturally, and then betray the entire human race. No electricity, though. Hooray! Fifth, become Amish. Wait. They use electricity now? Never mind. Six, use your neighbor's electricity. That's socialism. Seven, weld four mechanical arms to your body and create the power of the sun in the palm of your hand. If Doc Ock can do it, so can you. Eight, get around town in a golden throne carried by servants. Make sure you have an extra servant trailing behind to fan you and feed you grapes. Nine, become a very important billionaire politician. Their electricity usage doesn't count. Life hack. Ten, have lots and lots of good intentions because they make you feel really warm inside. Entire cities can be powered by good intentions. Not satire. The government can't solve our problems. We must embrace liberty. Meanwhile, 22,000 Colorado households lose control over their home thermostats using heat wave as power company locks out air conditioning use. Get this. Here's the sign you find on your thermostat. Temperature locked temporarily during energy emergency. Due to a rare energy emergency that may affect the local energy grid, your temperature slider has been changed from 8 p.m. to 8 p.m., 24 hours, because you enrolled in a community energy savings program. Listen to this, comrades. A heat wave hit the Colorado region Tuesday, this is over a week ago, with temperatures exceeding 90 degrees. Indoor temperatures began climbing, and when formerly free-range residents attempted to adjust their air conditioning, they discovered they were locked out from controlling their own home as the power companies took over. Here's a report from Denver, ABC, Channel 7. When thousands of XL customers in Colorado tried adjusting the thermostats Tuesday, they learned they had no control over the temperature in their own homes. I mean, it was out, and it was right during the peak period. Tallarico said it was hot. That's when he saw a message on the thermostat stating the temperature was locked due to an energy emergency. XL confirmed to contact Denver 7 that 22,000 customers who'd signed up for the Colorado AC Rewards Program were locked out of their smart thermostat for hours on Tuesday. Comrade citizens, it's important that we support the needs of the energy collective, all good-thinking citizens, but the needs of their state ahead of their selfish desires. As the national energy emergency now begins to unfold, the officials in charge of energy resource equity remind you how critical it is to remain compliant with all ministerial energy objectives. Compliance is expected from all correct-thinking citizens. As long as you remain compliant, there is no reason for concern. Do not attempt to adjust your household allocation of energy. Energy advisors will be made available for enhanced personal education to explain the benefits of our Green New Deal. Your cooperation is appreciated, comrades. Please report any non-compliant energy consumers to your local energy enforcement agency. No doubt about it. Absolutely stunning stuff. Meanwhile, Alex Jones and InfoWars sanctioned just minutes into the second damage trial over the what they declare here to be false Sandy Hook claims. I must say, I'm receiving some reports, even this morning, that Alex Jones appears to be controlled opposition. Well, Alex has clearly become a part of the problem, I believe, now. Bear in mind, this is a second of three different Sandy Hook trials to which he's being subjected. They're dragging it out to the midterms. I personally sought to intervene in all three of these cases because there's never been a judicial determination of whether anybody died at Sandy Hook. They've all been done on the basis of stipulation or assumption or by default, or in my case, by what I can only describe as a corrupt summary judgment protocol that enables the judge to set aside facts as being unreasonable. Believe it or not, in Wisconsin, the summary judgment procedure that can only be applied if there are no disputed facts enables a judge to exercise his own subjective opinion to determine whether or not facts being advanced by, in this instance, the defendant, me, to wit, that nobody died at Sandy Hook, that it was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control, where I had in substantiation the FEMA manual itself, which I included as Appendix A in the book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, when it was originally published in 2015, and again in the second edition when it was published in 2016. The FBI Consolidated Crime Report for 2012, which shows at the intersection of Newtown, of which Sandy Hook is a subdivision, and murders and non-negligent manslaughters, the number zero, zip, zilch, nada, zero, where if it had been authentic, the number should have been 26 or 27, but it actually shows zero. That's an FBI Consolidated Crime Report. And where the final report on Sandy Hook by Danbury State's attorney, Stephen Sadinsky III, fails to establish a causal nexus connecting the alleged shooter, Adam Lanza, with the victims he's alleged to have killed and the weapons he's supposed to have used. For example, the .22 caliber rifle with which he's supposed to have shot his mother had no fingerprints of Adam Lanza. And of the 150 slugs that were allegedly gathered at the scene, none of them could be matched to the Bushmaster he was alleged to have used. That means this whole thing is based on a sham. There is no legitimate basis for any of these lawsuits. It wasn't even for the Remington. I sought to intervene in the Remington lawsuit for the very same purpose, contemplating why four insurance companies would rather shell out $73 million than they would to defend against these absurdities, because I have a mass of evidence proving that events on the ground were in conformity with a FEMA manual. It was a sign everyone must check in. It says right in the manual, everyone must check in with a controller upon arrival in order to be paid. There were porta potties in place, pizza and bottled water. I asked law enforcement experts whether they'd ever heard of porta potties at a crime scene, and they laughed because it's absurd. Yet so many wearing name tags on lanyards. Well, that's how FEMA identifies a player, color-coded name tags on lanyards. They were ubiquitous. Parents bringing children to the scene. Can you imagine any parent bringing a child to the scene of a child shooting massacre? It's completely absurd, psychologically preposterous. That's because it was a rehearsal. There was a festive occasion. They were coming down to celebrate, get the free pizza, bottle water, whatever. And we know the day of the event, whatever happened was utterly inconsistent with a real shooting. No surge of EMTs into the building, no string of ambulances to rush their little bodies off to hospitals where they could be declared to be dead or alive, no medevac helicopter called, no string of buses to evacuate the remaining 469 students that, according to Stephen Sadinsky, were there total 489 that day, minus 20 supposedly killed, 469 to be evacuated. Dickinson Drive, the only access route in or out, was so clogged you couldn't have got a bus in or out if you wanted to. Triage tarps were put out, but no bodies, dead or alive, were ever placed on them. I could have given the Remington defendants a mass of evidence demonstrating that this whole thing, these lawsuits, were fabricated and fake. I offered to do so for Alex Jones. I offered to be an expert witness. I offered to produce proof after proof after proof. No interest. Why would the insurance company be willing to shell out $73 million? I'll tell you. It's just as what's happened in Canada. They're going to go for registration and insurance. They're going to move that you have to insure your weapon just as you have to insure your automobile. And they're going to make billions upon billions. And it's going to be a sure way for the government to know who's armed and who's not. Of course, not the criminals. The criminals aren't going to bother with insurance. The criminals aren't going to bother with registration. The criminals are going to continue to use guns to kill, which is a problem. It's got nothing to do with law-abiding citizens. Embarrassingly bad. Here's what we have. Alex Jones and InfoWord were sanctioned just minutes into the second damage trial over his false claims about the Sandy Hook school shooting, except they weren't. The trial started on Tuesday in Connecticut, where the shooting took place almost a decade ago on 14 December 2012. Judge Barbara Bellis issued a ruling that Jones and InfoWars will not be allowed to argue they didn't make considerable profits from covering the shooting because they didn't hand over Google Analytics data concerning the traffic to InfoWars to the plaintiffs. Mr. Jones and other individuals appearing on InfoWars falsely claimed for several years that the massacre was a hoax. Mr. Jones has said he doesn't retain that position anymore. Toward the end of last year, Mr. Jones and InfoWars were fined liable by default in the number of civil cases in Connecticut and Texas where InfoWars is located. That ruling means this trial, like the one before it, is only meant to decide how large the damages will be. We'll take your calls when we come back. 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Talk to you after the break.
We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, FreedomSource.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Listen to this. Get this. Martha's Vineyard migrants being shipped to Joint Base Cape Cod. Get this. Migrants flown to Martha's Vineyard by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis are being transported to Joint Base Cape Cod. This is what happens when you have political clout. Martha's Vineyard is not only the home to Barack and Michelle Obama, but to Bill Clinton and Hillary. Oprah has a home there, a lot of other very heavyweights, and God knows they don't want to have anything to do with these migrants. So they've arranged for their Massachusetts governor to transport them to Joint Base Cape Cod. Get the rest of this. Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker's administration on Friday released details to provide shelter and humanitarian support for the migrants and added, the National Guard will be activated as part of the release effort. Buses have arrived to transport the migrants from Martha's Vineyard. I just spoke with 2 Minute Travel Together, said they don't know where they are headed, and we're told it would be somewhere safe and with more room. NBC's Boston, Bianca Beltran, tweeted Friday morning with video showing the buses on the move. DeSantis said a pair of flights of illegal immigrants to Martha's Vineyard in the latest move to get Democrat-run areas away from the southern border to bear some responsibility for President Joe Biden's open border policy. Baker's administration said shelter and humanitarian support will be provided at Joint Base Cape Cod for the approximately 15 Venezuelan migrants who arrived in Martha's Vineyard this week. The Massachusetts Emergency Management Agency is coordinating efforts with state and local officials to ensure access to food, shelter, and essential services for the migrants. The administration press release also said Baker planned to activate up to 125 members of Massachusetts National Guard as part of the relief effort. I say keep them going. Keep sending them to the blue state. Send them to Massachusetts. Give them 60,000 of these migrants. Send them to Massachusetts. Send them to California. Send them to Illinois. Get more in Chicago. This is just absurd. The Biden administration is just destroying the United States of America, and they're gloating over it. And I can tell we've got someone standing by here. Mitchell, we have a caller. Paul, join the conversation. I'm just enraged by all this shit. Paul, your thoughts.
Well, I just want to know where I can go and get some free pizza.
That's right. All you got to do is sign up for one of these. And the towns are paid big bucks. My estimate is that Newtown was paid $100 million to conduct this phony event. They had the participants sign non-disclosure orders. And my understanding is a lot of these are going to expire at the end of the year. We'll see what happens. But this is all outrageous. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, regarding your most recent rant right before you went to my call where you're talking about sending all these people and you go send them to California, no thanks. We're full up out here.
I'm sure you are full up.
Why don't we send them to Oregon, Wisconsin? Why don't we put a few on your street and a few on the street next door and a few, you know, at the edge of town there? You know, why not, right?
Right. Well, I'm telling you, Madison is a hotbed of liberalism. I mean, I'm telling you, There are a lot of conservative voices in rural Wisconsin. The whole point is no one in the United States should be suffering from this burden. This is completely wrong. It's an abdication of responsibility of the President of the United States to maintain the integrity of the United States. He's destroying it. I mean, Paul, of course, is just outrageous. My point was, you got a governor, Gruesome Newsom, who's just outrageous, and he's destroying California. Anyone wants to do the same for the United States if he gets a chance. It's terrible.
Well, you know, it's like I've been saying for years, and I mean, it's pretty obvious now that there is no functioning government that operates in the interest of the American people. In fact, it's a complete opposite. They're the enemy. I mean, your own station, right? They every, you know, hour between shows, I believe, or most hours, the part of the bumper is the purpose of governments around the world is to decimate your entire existence. I mean, it's not that far from the truth when you look at what they're doing. And I mean, even to the natural world, right, with the weather engineering. I mean, that's the foremost issue that none of us, that all of us can suffer from. See, we can't really do anything about all the other political theater and the soap opera drama and, you know, whatever, Michelle Obama and Nancy Pelosi and all this, doesn't affect everybody's life for the most part. But yes, the weather engineering is real. The so-called immigration is real. When you have all sorts of people coming here that aren't viable and they're going to be living somewhere and they're going to be taking up space somewhere, they're going to need to eat. And all this is going to be paid for out of all this money. And they tell us, well, we're going to have to, I mean, they're trying to get rid of the property tax protection here that was put in place by Proposition 13 decades ago. You know, they're going to try to raise, and they are raising property taxes everywhere. All the taxes that they passed years and years ago, all these different propositions. I remember in California when sales tax was like 4.5%, 5%, so on. It just, all it's ever done is gone upwards, right? Now, basically, it's now 10%. I mean, to me, I think 10% is outrageous. But there you go. You know, so you go buy anything, and 10%, boom, right off the tap goes to the government. And it's just everything is going to a point where sooner or later we're going to have to use force to restore our nation. There's just no other way around it. I'm sorry, the way it is.
I'm just worried that they want that to happen and that they're going to unleash, you know, massive force against us and even bring in UN troops, that they're going to declare, you know, states of insurrection. And those would obviously be bona fide insurrection, even though it's for a just cause, and that they're going to bring in foreign troops, including Chinese, UN, all this. Paul, I just worry. I see us in a real dilemma here as to how to deal with these issues in an effective way that's not going to make matters worse.
Well, you know, it's normal to worry, I guess. I used to worry before when I was a kid in school about getting in fights. You know, everybody wants to avoid it for the most part. I was, you know, as a younger person, I was afraid of violence. You know, but then, you know, you get in a few that you have to, and you take care of your business, and then you realize, okay, that wasn't so bad. You know, if, I mean, it's like, what's worry going to do? I mean, the bottom line is you see what they're doing. I mean, it's sort of like, I know you've heard the term accelerationist. I first heard the term accelerationist back in the late 90s. And, you know, what's the point when, I mean, what's the point in worrying about it? Because it's going to be bad. It's not going to be your normal situation. Well, it's going to be asymmetrical. You know, they may want it so-called so they can bring in martial law. Well, so what? Okay, so what? Let them bring in martial law. I mean, sooner or later, people are going to get sick of it, just like they got sick of the mask mandate. They got sick of the lockdowns. You know, they got sick of everything. But they just, what they do is they back off. Okay, so the government backs off when we push back. And sooner or later, there's going to be enough of us are going to have to figure out we can't stop. In other words, we have to keep going. Just because they back up doesn't mean we shouldn't keep going. Because all these people that are behind all of this, they, you know, have already committed so many crimes that would be capital offenses, that would be treasonous. So why should we let them go? Remember Trump talked about lock her up. Well, what happened to that? Right. It just got let go, backed up. All the Canadian trucker convoy, when they went to the Capitol. Well, they went to the Capitol, they had a trucker convoy, and then they all went home. Well, what's really changed? You know,
yes. I, of course, get your point. And I think, you know, Reinhard Fulmicker is warning us what's coming. Well, we're talking about a tiny handful, comparatively speaking, maybe 10,000 very rich and powerful individuals, some of whom are very familiar names, taking control of a planet that's occupied, populated by 8 billion. So how can 10,000 take control of a planet populated by 8 billion? The problem is they have control of the levers and switches that control governments and power. That's what we're up against. But God knows, I agree, Paul, something has to be done. I mean, we cannot just passively allow ourselves to be decimated and turned into serfs and slaves.
Right. Well, and so, of course, they control money, right? That's all this is. They're able to buy people. That's why countries throughout history, throughout the centuries, banished Jews first from money, banking, government, and education, right, and so forth, and then they banished them from the country. Because when very evil, corrupt people with an agenda to do you in get control of the money, then you have no other choice. You have to fight, right? And so, you know, nobody wants to. I don't want to. The bottom line, this can all happen so easily and so nonviolently if people just stop cooperating. Stop doing what you're told. Stop paying your taxes. Stop paying your tickets. Don't go to court. You know, the whole system would collapse. Stop paying your credit cards. Okay, the whole system would collapse, and it should, and it needs to. You heard Mike Sledge when he was on your show. I don't know if you've heard him on other times, but he's one of many voices who says essentially that the system has to and needs to collapse before things can be put right. I mostly agree, okay? And the way it could collapse is mostly nonviolent if people had any strength or any backbone. But I'm sitting here in a parking lot waiting to go to this one office, and the car that pulled up next to me full of 2 Asians, you know, with masks on inside their car, and they put their mask on, they go inside the building. I still see them doing it in the stores. I would either deport all these people or disintegrate them, to be honest with you. I mean, it sounds awful, but I swear to God, I'm sick of it. I mean, all these people that really believe in the mask and really believe in the virus, if I had a button, it would be very hard for me not to push the button to disintegrate them all. All the people that really believe in the vaccines that are going and getting the second and third booster, let's just put them out of their misery to begin with. I literally would disintegrate them. And now they're done. They're out of the way. You know, that's why I said some of the terrible things I said about the worst thing can happen is a lot of people get these vaccines and they continue to live. Right? Because then
I, of course, respect your freedom of speech. I'm not endorsing your position. We have another caller standing by, and the two of you will be here for the duration because Mitchell has had to depart the premises. Brian from Missouri. Brian, join Paul here. Give us your thoughts. Brian.
Paul, I hate to admit it. You know, I do that chakra dhyana every day in the morning. It's my meditation. And today they were talking about flat earth stuff. And I go, oh, my God, you mean Paul was telling the truth? So what I know about you, Paul, is your soul energy level is at a really high level. If I knew your last name, I could figure out who you are. And if you were doing what I'm doing, and you cleanse your third eye, you'd be seeing things out of your third eye and you'd get telepathy. That's why you guys know your soul energy levels at a higher level. So I just found that real fascinating today. So I'm sure this will make your day.
Wow. Okay, well, that's fine. I'll accept that.
But earlier you were talking about Ukraine, Jim, and what you brought up in my mind was on Henry McCowell, they had a story about how the German high command, they called it the OKH, OKW, run by Keitel and Jodl and all those people. And when the Germans invaded the Soviet Union and were in the Ukraine, that they got messages from the city of London to the German high command telling them to be sure and kill as many Ukrainians as they could so that when the Ashkenazis, you know, were back in there, they wouldn't have all these people living there to deal with. So what I think is going on partially with Ukraine, the reason you're seeing so many casualties in the Ukrainian army, I'm sure City of London has put out that word again. So anyway, that's all I have to say right now.
Well, it has been suggested from multiple sources that there's a desire to use Ukraine as a new Israel, to move from the region in Palestine to Ukraine, which, of course, is the origin of the Khazarians, where most of the present residents of Israel are not descendants of the tribe of Judah, but rather of the Khazarians in Ukraine. So it would be coming home to Ukraine, and where the Jacob Rothstein, who is the principal behind the New World Order, has declared Vladimir Putin to be an enemy of the New World Order in that it cannot proceed without Ukraine. So I do believe Ukraine is a major battlefield right there, you know, in Europe, and that Vladimir Putin is fighting the good fight on behalf of all of humanity. I know there are those who are very skeptical because Putin has made speeches to the World Economic Forum, but that does not mean he's in a agreement or alliance with their objectives. I'm convinced he's an anti-globalist, not a globalist, but I know there are many who hold a contrary opinion. I'll just say this recent attempt to assassinate him, where his Putin had as many as five different decoy motorcades, but only his own security people knew where he really was, and it was the vehicle where he really was that was attacked, some kind of explosive in the left front wheel well, as I understand it, or the right, looking at the vehicle from the front, that there was a lot of smoke pouring, but he was brought to safety, and that members of the entourage have disappeared who appear to have been involved in the reports of arrest. We're not getting any of this in the mainstream media, but I have four different independent sources reporting about it online, so I mentioned it yesterday. I do think Russia is going to have a great victory in Ukraine, and where Scott Ritter has been reporting on the relative capabilities of NATO versus Russia, and the way woke NATO really doesn't have the ability to conduct a war with Russia, which is well prepared, fortified with the best equipment in the world. I don't foresee any way in which Ukraine can emerge victorious here. Paul, your thoughts on this or other subjects?
Well, you know, again, I just think that there's a lot of information lacking, shall we say, truthful information lacking from what's really going on in Ukraine. My guess would be that there's propaganda on both sides. I can't imagine that Russia would, you know, be too public with bad news if they had it, just like the Ukrainians would, you know, be the same way. But, you know, in the end, we're looking at the same thing here. Okay, we all know who and what Zelensky is, and we all know who and what controls most Western governments, and it has to come to an end. Jim, you should check out Alfred Schaefer's interview, which is posted on BitChute just a few days ago. It's the better part of 2 hours. He's recently out of prison in Germany. I'm sure you know who Alfred and Monica Schaefer is, right?
Sure, sure. I've interviewed Monica several times, right, on this show.
Yeah, well, Alfred's out of jail now. He spent 4 years, and you should hear him coming out, kicking ass, naming, saying things like, this is a man that they didn't diminish his spirit one bit. And, I mean, he's closing in on 90, I think. I mean, he looks amazing. The guy looks like he's maybe in his late 70s. To me, just based upon some of the people I see around here on a regular basis that are in their 70s. I mean, he looks really good. And just, you know, he's, like I said, it's about a 2 hour interview on BitChute on the Jim Rizzoli channel. And he okay. also is on there. He's also on there with another guy, John from History Review Channel. He's a South African guy. But, you know, they name the people that are doing this to us, and they both say clearly what has to occur. And they talked about what has occurred in the past, where they keep pushing and pushing and pushing until all of a sudden people rise up and basically hunt them down and tear them apart.
I've just been astonished at how effortlessly the official narrative of the end of World War II falls apart when you begin to investigate. I mean, there's just nothing to it. It's a house of cards. And, you know, he's been imprisoned for denying the Holocaust in Germany. That happens. Just as Ernst Zundel was prosecuted in Canada back in 1985 and 1988, which was rather sensational pair of trials, where during the first right. most striking element was a prosecution couldn't produce a single witness who could testify to seeing anyone put to death in a gas chamber, and during the second
enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and